Welcome to another segment of Tales from the Blind Side. We can't even get going, man. It's crazy. Oh, man. So here we go, man. I mean, you know, got my brothers. Todd Harriman's with me again. Jamal Jackson, center stage. As you can see, Todd Harriman has upgraded his studio with the chalkboard.
Yeah, we're in studio two. We're in studio two today. Yeah. I figured I got the Soch right here.
Soch? Yeah.
I had an artist come in and render the Twitter bird and also the Instagram logo.
That is nice. Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. Very cool. There you go. Yeah, that is really
check
awesome.
Check me out.
do you come with some enlightening information on your Soch?
Yes, the Soch. Very enlightening. But you gotta get it when it's hot because it doesn't come very frequently.
Yeah. Man, I'm trying to tell you, man. It is wild. Yeah, so, all right.
Background. It's little things now, guys. It's the little things.
Little things.
By, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Just to get us through, man. Because right now, here we go. We go out to Cleveland Browns. You know, we go out to the home of Bone Thugs and Harmony, right? Isn't that not right?
Cleveland.
Anywhere you come from, so run. Yeah.
They ran.
So, you know, there you go. You're from the city of Bone Thugs and Harmony, and we go back to Cleveland, and we got our ass kicked. You know, it was not, you know, it really wasn't a, you know, it wasn't good. It wasn't good. No. I mean, the weather from jump was 100% precipitation as soon as the game started all the way through, you know, just nasty weather conditions. I know I was asked about it, you know, how did you guys like playing in weather conditions like that in the rain? Don't all jump at once. I mean, you
know, I mean
me.
Yeah.
Nah. You know what? I guess it depended on who you were playing against.
Yeah.
I always thought that, you know, run when it was raining like that, it would become a run game. And generally, as an offensive lineman, you kind of like running the ball. And it looked like that was going to be the game plan, like kind of on that first drive. I mean, I thought they were attacking well up until, you know, the fumble. But was it a fumble?
Yeah, it was a fumble.
Yeah, it was definitely a fumble. Yeah.
Yeah. But generally, from my perspective, I enjoyed playing in, like, games that weren't exactly, you know, optimum weather because I felt like it took my inadequacies and then, like, the other players, it kind of brought them down on a level playing field. They weren't not quite as explosive as a defensive lineman. Became more of a position game. You know, you had to have your feet underneath you, so you just, you know, you could run as hard as you want, but if you didn't have your feet with you, you were going to slip all over the place. Mm-hmm. So I just thought I enjoyed it, aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. Jack, how about you, especially being a center because you got to snap the ball.
Yeah, it can get a little tricky. You know, I remember one game we played, I think 06. We played Washington at home. And it was pouring raining that day, pouring raining. Like, I was like, shit, just get the snaps up. Fuck it. If I get Bull Russell dumped, I get Bull Russell dumped. Like, because, I mean, it rained the whole game. And, you know, thankfully enough, shit, we put up some points that game, like, actually throwing the ball, too. Mm-hmm. Like, my man Five, he was hitting, he hit Stalwart for a deep one that game, I remember, because I snapped the ball and I wasn't supposed to. Like, a lot of shit goes on, like, when the weather becomes a factor. So, yeah, this weekend, it was a shit show, you know, but they didn't do themselves any favors by, you know, the manner in which they came out. Because, you know, you would think after last week's game, you know, coming off the bye, you know, it would have been a little bit more juice. Like, defensively, I thought they did okay early on because they was holding Cleveland to, like, 1 or 2 yards per rush in that kind of weather, that's actually pretty good. Yeah. But, you know, just offensively, you know, it was just one of those things where, you know, mistakes lead to turnovers and turnovers lead to points for the other team.
Yeah. I thought going into this game that it was going to be one of those games that you needed to come out there with some energy. You needed to come out there with some pop, especially the way everybody was commenting leading up to this game. You know, you had Jalen Mills right after the game talking about how pissed off everybody is, how angry everybody is. Fletcher Cox was talking about how angry he is and how pissed off everybody is. Doug got on the radio talking about how upset he is and everybody needs to get going and all the fire that needs to come into this. And my whole thing was that, you know, there also was a report that came out that where BG was saying that how practice was, you know, sloppy at times and it's been showing to show itself in the games. So you kind of thought that this game was going to be a big rah-rah type game where guys were going to come in there fired up. But, you know, to me, it seems like in weather conditions like that, when it's not optimal, you need, first of all, your leaders to step up and kind of carry everybody through. But if not, if that fake enthusiasm, it's going to fizzle out. And that's what it seems like the team kind of, you know, to me, when I look at it, like they came out on fire. But then as that game continued to go on, it started fizzling out a little bit. And then there you go. You look out and here you are. You're walking out of a game that possibly could have won and you end up losing.
Yeah, I think, you know, the whole, how you call it, the fake enthusiasm or whatnot. I just think, you know, this team, like, the way it's constructed and how they're playing, they're just so, like, it's just not a disciplined team. You look in that first quarter, I want to say they had 3 offsides in, like, 1 drive. Mm-hmm. Like, that can't happen, you know? Like, you would think, you know, week after week of saying, you know, we're not good in this category, we're not good in that category, that they would like try to like buckle some things down. And, you know, I'll even take it back to, you know, when we gave up fucking 12 sacks to the Giants, man, that following week, every protection was in the book. We had chips, we had tight ends, we had backs. Like, we wasn't going to let that happen again. And I don't see like that attention to detail week in and week out when, mm-hmm. you know, you play the Giants a couple of weeks, the quarterback beats you running the ball. Then you play him a couple of weeks later, he beats you doing the same thing. It's like we're shooting ourselves in the foot by the same mistakes. And, you know, like that stuff, it can be corrected, but who's going to do the correcting? It doesn't happen in practice. Are they getting pushed hard enough to do it? Like, nobody knows, but we see the end result on Sundays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly what you're saying, dude. It's the little things at this point. They have so many turnovers, and they're high on the boards with penalties every game. And those are the little things. Like you wonder if it's a little too, I don't know, a little too laid back around there. You know what I mean?
Probably.
You know, people showing up late to things, not being penalized for it, or really talked to about it, or something like that. I don't know if that's what's happening, but. You know, if you keep all those things in line, then generally it plays out on the field. And, you know, penalties is something that's an undisciplined ball. That's just, you can minimize that. That's a mental thing. And that's all about discipline. And mm-hmm. and that sucks to see him, you know, with so many penalties at this point in the season.
Yeah, you know, you come out and you see our offense, man. We come out and we're driving down the field and, man, you know, we're driving down the field. I mean, I think the first drive, I think it was a 10-play drive. And I think we only threw the ball maybe once or twice. I mean, we just came out there.
Bro, it was a great drive.
Great drive, just running the ball down their throat, doing what we expected, what we thought we should do in this type of weather conditions. Our offensive line going out there, doing what they do best, and just driving guys off. First of all, going into this game, you hear the news that Myles Garrett is not playing in this game. And you kind of take a nice big sigh of relief, like, all right, okay, we don't have to deal with that. Okay, weather conditions, all right, hey, we can be able to go out there and run the ball. This is playing into our favor. But then you get down there and you fumble the ball. And that was just a huge mistake, I think, by Miles Sanders. And, you know, that just kind of takes the wind out of your sails at that point.
Yeah, I actually even tweeted out at that point in the game, like, man, I hope that this turnover doesn't, like, spook them off the game plan because I love how they came out of the gates here, you know? And I think that's exactly what happened. Not that, but also just getting behind, you know, feeling pressure, like they didn't have control of the game. And that's what gets them out of that rhythm that they were in on that first drive. They felt like they had a chance to be in control of the game that early. And it just seemed like they just got off track. You know what I mean? And everything just kind of got shook after that.
Yeah, this is the self-inflicting wounds, you know. But I kind of like, so, you know, even with that first drive and also the second drive, it was pretty long as well. Like, you know, hell, Cleveland, they're running the ball. They're not getting nothing. They're pretty much hiding Baker Mayfield's deficiencies by, you know, it was first down run, second down run. Third and short, play fake. Let's do a safe throw to somebody either in the flat or somebody streaking open downfield. Like, we want to go the unconventional route. I go four wide receivers. We want to throw the ball on first down, try to run it on second down, get stuffed, and then now you leave your quarterback with third and nine. And you wonder why you go, what, 2 for 17 on third downs in two games or some shit like that? Like,
yeah.
I mean, help your guys out a little bit. Like, if you know we're in this, like you were saying, Todd, we're inclement weather. So now we're all on evil level playing field. Like, now we have to use our technique to beat our guy instead of our athletic ability, you know? So, you know, do what was working. Like, they had more runs than they did passes, and they was like up in the yardage department. For some reason, I mean, this coach, the way he calls his plays, he just always like to get away from what's working. Even though Miles fumbled. Yeah, he fumbled in the red era. I give him that. Mm-hmm. But you got to keep coming back to him.
Yeah.
You know, he's producing for you.
Yeah.
It's just they get out of that too quick and, you know, want to rely on, all right, let's just hit these receivers and our tight ends and the backside of the backfield, when they didn't throw the ball to, well, a receiver didn't have a catch. A wide receiver didn't have a catch until the third quarter.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah. I thought that the game plan, when you go back and you look at that first drive, you only had one pass in that 10-play drive. And, I mean, you know, you were crushing it. Then you come back to the second series and you come out with a quarterback sneak. Then you have a pass. You had three passes. And then, well, actually four passes in that 3-play drive. You know, and then that's when you had the interception. So, you know, I just felt like, you know, and then that, let's talk about that interception real quick, because I know a lot of people will say, well, hey, man, Carson should have done this, he should have done that. And, you know, you possibly had Rager that was right there on the left side of the field that was possibly open. But I don't know what all the route concepts was on that. But it looked like it was like a little zone. Everybody was zoning to the left, but Rodgers was supposed to come back for the blitzer. And he got caught in the C gap. And, you know, then there you go.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of those protections where he just got lulled to sleep. He saw the guy didn't come initially, then he turned his head, and then you got the cat coming off the edge, which is pretty much your guy. Like, that shouldn't happen. Like, I know we want to blame Carson for that, and, you know, like, say his mental clock needs to go off, but when you got two tight ends, I believe it was two tight ends over there.
Yeah, you did.
That's like a 7-man protection. Like, you should be covered over there. You know, he shouldn't be worried about getting hit from the blind side, you know. But, you know, like I said, the small things, man, the small things is what's hurting his team.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Everybody wants to put everything on Carson. But that right there was, like you said, a play that he shouldn't have to worry about getting hit.
To.
It's a 7-man protection.
I looked at the route. I'm like, dude, it's two guys out on the route. Okay, he should be protected.
plenty of time.
Like, one guy going this way, the other guy going that way, and I'm like, okay, you got a tight end right here, a tackle right there, another tackle. Wait, he should be picked up. Like, but it just didn't happen, you know?
Yeah.
And that all goes back to coaching. Like, what are we doing in practice as far as correction? Like, attention to detail, because that, man, it could have been a touchdown. At the least, it's not a turnover. You know, it's picked up, and, you know, he'll probably do, you know, the Houdini trick or just dump it off, but it's not a pick six.
Yeah, yeah. But it ended up being a pick six.
It happened, yeah.
Just because I think that Rodgers just he got lulled to sleep, and then there you go, you know, and then you move on. So now you come back to the next series. And, you know, you come out there and you come out with an outside zone. You had another pass. And then now you bring Hurts into the game. And, you know, here we go. He comes in with a nice little zone read. He gets upfield, gets a couple yards, then another, you know, pass. And then you come back out. And then now you give up JP's first sack. And, you know, to me, I just felt like Vernon had this game circled on his calendar. When he saw that Myles Garrett wasn't playing in this game, he was like, all right, well, I'm going to come out here and show out. This is going to be my chance. If they're going to come out here and air at the ball, I'm going to get it. And, man, he worked JP pretty good on a nice little edge rush.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. I mean, you know, I thought that JP was going to have a good, strong upper hand in this because Olivier Vernon, he used to be in New York, right? So he used to see him twice a year. So JP's got plenty of reps against this guy. But I guess, aha, so this is Olivier Vernon. Plenty of reps on JP's ass. And it showed, man. I mean, he looked like a fucking beast out there. He was taking JP, who is like one of the more, you know, this makes me wonder, like, if he's healthy right now, you know, just seeing him give up pressure like that and get turned inside and stuff like that. I don't see a healthy JP unless he's that far gone in his career giving up pressure like that. You know what I mean? I think there's something going on with him there. He's not feeling 100%.
Yeah, but this was a game, as far as line play goes, where, you know, you had to be disciplined with your technique. You know, it's raining. The conditions doesn't call for you false stepping and trying to recover because you can't. You're going to slip. And there was a lot of that going on. So it's like, you know, I understand he may be probably ailing a little bit, but, man, like you said, Trey, you know, they Myles Garrett not playing. All right, so you want to relax. Don't relax at all, period, because it's like what you said. It's raining. So now we got to be on point with our steps and our communication because one slip up, hey, the quarterback getting hit for safety, you know?
Yeah. And when you say when some of the technique stuff, because what one of the things I noticed when Vernon did rush him on that particular sack, he kind of gave him that butt, and then he kind of gave him that nice little rip move underneath his left arm. And that's one of those situations where it's like, you know, as a vet, man, you know to pull your outside arm out of that and get strong with the inside hand. You know, say now you got to, boom, you got to shoot hands first of all. But now when that rip comes, you got to pull your outside hand out, get strong with your inside hand to try to run him back. But it was like it was too late. And to me, I think a lot of times when you look at some of the technique that JP is dealing with, that's struggling with right now, some of it might be health, some of it might be age, but some of it's not being drilled. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because on that safety, On the safety, he was walking back. You know how we all, you know what I'm saying? You know we never walk back because if you get bull rushed, when you walk, you're going to get walked all the way back to the quarterback. You did not see him sink his hips for a bull rush. You know you got to hop on.
You got to sit down on that, man. I did see that,
So that's not age. That's not, you know, health. That's just – something where it wasn't drilled, and it was just you got caught trying to walk a guy back when, man, you should know better to go ahead and sink those hips and hop. Now, you know what I'm saying? Is that something that – Ty, why are you looking like that?
Because I'm just saying, how you say that's not age, bro? If your age starts to deteriorate, you can't hop and stop that shit, so you feel like, bro, am I going to really try to hop if I can't stop them? Or if my ankle or my knee or something's hurt, am I going to really try to hop to stop them? Or am I just going to try to do a slow death and take it back? I mean, we really don't know. I mean,
I don't know.
He left
the
game. You know what I mean?
He left the game.
He came back. I don't know what his injuries are. Nobody does.
I know we try not to, man. We we're very careful, we're very cautious with it, you know, But to me, I just felt like, you know what, it should have been drilled. This is something
There's no denying he got his shit that game. Olivier Vernon was a monster and he definitely affected the game. I mean their defense. Their defense scored what? 9 points? 7 points? Something like that?
They got eight. They scored 8 points.
Yeah. Oh, they didn't count the PAT on the touchdown. All right. Yeah.
I don't want to count the extra point on that. Yeah, I'm not going to give them that. so
right. That's an offensive point, motherfucker.
Yeah, we that goes to us, damn it. You know? But yeah, really? I give him a,
really? Hold on.
Yeah, yeah, that's really? Offensive, bro. Yeah, that's
I don't think so.
Nah, I don't
think so. I don't think so.
Yeah, the PAT is all us.
Is an offensive snap.
I don't. Right. It's an offensive snap, but
it's an offensive snap, dog. Yeah, it's offensive linemen that go out there. It's offensive linemen that go out there and block that shit. I mean, not actually, the D line.
Actually, I mean, the kicker gets the point, right?
That's the kicker gets the point. But
kickers are such high scorers.
But the kicker, like, they're mostly on defensive drills: kickoff, punt. We just got field goal.
No, dog. That's our point, man.
All right.
Chalk one up for the offense.
Yeah, that,
like they got kickoff and they got kickoff on defense and then field goal on offense.
Yeah.
Then they got
there you go. That's our point right there. We get that point. Yeah. That's right. Nice. Yeah. We gave them eight now. You got 8 points. You got the interception. You got the touchdown for six. You give me the six. You got the safety. 2 points there. All right. That's it. You get nothing else. You don't get the extra point. That's
they'll get that. All right.
Yeah. That's us. That's us. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it was just something.
They had five sacks?
Yes.
Five sacks, something like
five
that.
Five sacks, 10 quarterback hits, dude.
Yeah, dude, I got sacked like 40 times this year already.
You know what that tells me, bro? It's not a fucking passing team. Quit trying to drop back, bro. Run the ball, run action, and roll out.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
We're getting too horny to call these dropbacks.
Yeah.
You don't need to.
Yeah, we get out there and we get a little horny with it. We feel like, hey, man, we're going to air this thing out, watch these balls fly. We're going to be really awesome right now. And it just keeps coming back to backfire, you know, and I feel for Carson, man, because he's out there battling, man. And one thing I will not stand for, and I know people like to kind of go at him a little bit, but do not question that man's heart, because he get his ass knocked off every week, and he keeps getting up and like, all right, next play. And I mean, you saw them one time where they getting beat, okay, getting beat with simple games, man. Simple games.
That's one.
No, you know.
I don't think pass protection is this group's strength.
No, you know it's a fucked up situation when the quarterback gets more contact than the running backs do because they don't get the ball that much.
Yeah, I mean.
Damn, dog. Like, dude, he's getting hit 14, 15 times a game. He's getting four or five times a game.
No.
Stop it.
You think he's getting to a point where he's like, man, quit calling these QB reads. I don't want to run the ball. I'm already getting smacked up.
You already get smacked up.
And then on top of that, you want to run him. You want a quarterback sneak him every time. It's third and one. Every time, everybody know the sneak is coming. Everybody. Damn, can we develop? Can we develop like a fucking lead? Can you Fox 2 run?
A Fox 2 run.
Come on, man.
Like, I haven't seen any of those runs. None of those.
I know.
None of those up and down runs.
No.
None.
Need to do the old fake sneak. They snap it between his legs back to the running back. Yeah, you hike it between the quarterback's legs and the running back, and he just heads for the pylon, and then they fake the sneak.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
we did that play once where with five. He like quarterback sneaked a little bit, and then threw that bitch to Westbrook like out in the flat. Easy.
Yeah, there you go. Get some of that.
The creativity is not in void. There is none.
Not at all. I mean, you know, you look at what we're doing. I mean, it's a very, you know, it's kind of like.
Oh, it's vanilla.
Very vanilla. And it's like you tell your receivers, all right, look, I need y'all to just go out there and win. Instead of developing some route concepts to work them open, they just have to go out there and go beat their DBs or beat whatever the coverage is. And they're just not that type of receiver. All right, so
Man. I mean, we don't catch balls, man. I mean,
So that ain't us, anyways. So we're gonna keep it more in the trenches. We're gonna keep it more in the
definitely
trenches.
Definitely don't.
No, don't want to catch any balls. No, that's
touchdowns not only. Touchdowns only.
Touchdowns only.
Hey, man. Yeah, we ain't doing none of that.
None of that.
That's big. Yes.
Oh, my God.
All right, moving on.
Yeah, moving on, man. So now, you know, you come out, and I think Kelce was the first guy to go down, man. And I got to say, man.
I was scared.
Hell yeah. I mean, I got to say, man, I don't always agree with some of the stuff Kelce does out there with some of the calls and stuff that happens with protection. But I tell you what. For him to get his elbow knocked off like that and to go in and get that shit braced up and came back out there because Jarrigo, what his name is?
I don't know. Somebody.
Luke Jarrigo, whatever his name is. Luke was out there getting his elbow. Yeah.
Not gonna be out there very long.
Yeah. Luke was like, hey, man.
Hey, man, I think you had all your number. Was he 72 or 74?
No, he was 74. So he was 74. Okay. So ooh. Luke, Luke get out. And my first thing is like, man, we need to hurry up and get Kelce back. I mean, his first play was just a big whiff. And I don't think people really understand that there's not a lot of missing matching when you're in the practice situation. So I'm pretty sure Luke hasn't taken out one snap with the ones.
Oh yeah, nah.
You know,
nah, never.
And I don't think people really understand that. You know, at least Juan used to try to mix us in a little bit here and there, but you know, hell, you don't really mix guys in like that, especially at center, just because it's a very touchy thing. You know, so. You know, Luke probably never taken a snap with damn Wentz the entire time he's been here.
Maybe he probably did some 7-on-7.
Yeah,
if they still do that. I mean, I don't know, because Todd, I don't know, you were there like recently than any of us. I don't know if they changed it to where, you know, they have like one of the scouts or somebody out there doing a 7-on-7, but.
I don't know, bro. I wasn't there with Doug.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, they kind of keep some of the same things, but. Yeah,
I mean, from what I understand, it's probably about similar to what Andy used to do.
What Andy did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you send a young guy in there, but he probably was just doing straight gun. You're not gonna put Wentz under center with him, mess around and break a finger.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
But he had a little rough little end of the second quarter. Yeah. I know he was like, he saw that brace and was like, Yes.
When he went in the locker room and he saw Kelce getting fitted with a brace.
Hey, yes. Get him on out there, man. I ain't ready just yet now. Like,
he wasn't ready. No.
He wasn't ready, dog. It's raining. These motherfuckers pinning their ears back. Yeah. We got fucking trust issues around here. Like, everybody, people's faces are falling off.
Like, he's like, they ain't about to get this shit on me.
On me.
Oh, man. It was just all bad, man. But I got to tell you, man, I was really happy to see Kelce come back out there because it would have gotten extremely ugly, man.
Kelce is vital. Kelce is vital. And until they can find somebody that they can, like, rely on to come in there and play if something happens to Kelce – they're just gonna keep putting money in his bag. I mean, like, they got nobody right now. You know what I mean?
No, because you got Nate Herbig, who's out for a finger. I don't know what his finger is. Like,
it could be bad. It could be real bad.
I mean, it has to be.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking like shit. Ronnie Lott probably got like off, though.
Ronnie Lott did chew the tip of his shit off and spit it out.
Yeah, I had to say, man. Come on, man. No, I don't know. It has to be something serious. I mean, damn, but a finger, though, like.
I mean.
Yeah. I want to hear this. I want to hear this from the rational one.
No, I mean, fingers, bro. I mean, I damn near ripped the tip of my finger off in Seattle, and we had to take that bitch back up. I still have to buddy tape it. If I catch it wrong, it rips back open. So,
Oh, man.
I don't know what he's got going on. Maybe he's got some pins or a rod in his hand or something.
Yeah, like, and then that can make it a little tricky.
Like, yeah. We're linemen, dude. All of our fingers are all fucked up. Like,
yeah, I got a janky pinky, you know? Like,
it happens.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know, man. There's got to be something there that, like, he can't club up for some reason because, you know, didn't you used to just put a club on your hand when you had something effed up with your fingers?
Yeah, buddy tape them.
I just buddy tape it.
Yeah.
Yeah, buddy tape that shit. Yeah.
It's all a palm at the end of the day. Like.
Yeah, you're using your palms anyway.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, moving right along.
Yeah, we're going to move on.
But Doug did say that, though. Like, I thought it was funny. He mentioned it in the report. And, you know, because they had asked him, like, why didn't Herbig play? Because he was, like, starting for most of the season. But
didn't he say Pryor earned his starting spot?
He said the other guy did.
No, he said Opeta earned the right to dress.
Yeah. Okay, that's right.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay. You see, Doug is grading on the curve. I see. So, So if he deserves more time, all right, we'll go with it.
Yeah, then just run with it. Just run.
But he did mention that he had a finger injury. I still want to know did they have to amputate it or something, or was it close to that?
If they had to amputate it, bro, he'd be out there.
Yeah, it'd be
right.
He'd be good to go.
You can't fuck it up anymore.
Yeah, it can't be messed up anymore. It's good.
If it's gone, you can't hurt it.
Yeah, it's gone. You just burn the tip of it and go.
Yeah.
Right?
Put it on that sideline torch. Just
There you go. There you go. Put one of them old school car cigarette lighters on it and bam.
Oh my God. What is that? You got shit.
You gotta stop the bleeding, bro.
Yeah, you gotta stop the blood.
Gotta cauterize the wound.
Yeah, get on through, man. You'll be all right, man. It's a finger.
When did this turn into sports science?
Like, yeah, man. At the end of the day, it's a finger, dude. It's a finger. All right, so let's pay some bills real quick. 'Tis the season for giving, and to celebrate the start of the most joyous time of the year, DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is giving all players an opportunity to cash in on a no-brainer this Thanksgiving. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving you a chance to double your money if either Baltimore or Pittsburgh score a touchdown in Thursday night's game. Dang, all you got to do is score a touchdown. All it takes for you to double your money is one touchdown. Yes, you've heard that right. All you have to do is opt in to the promotion, place your bet, and then sit back and watch the ball enter the end zone. Easy as pie. I particularly like apple pie and sweet potato myself. How about y'all guys? Y'all are pie guys? You like pies? You know?
Love all pie.
Yeah,
big pie guy.
Big pie guy.
Big pie guy.
Big pie guy. All right. On top of that great offer, DraftKings Sportsbook is offering all new players a deposit bonus of up to $1,000. The holiday season is a time for family. So curl up on the couch with your favorite sportsbook and make it rain. DraftKings is safe, reliable, and secure, making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code SIDE, S-I-D-E, when you sign up to get this can't-miss offer. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving you the chance to double your money if either Pittsburgh or Baltimore score a touchdown in Thursday night's game. That's right. That's all it takes is one touchdown and you double your money when you use promo code SIDE, S-I-D-E, during sign-up. For a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 and older, Pennsylvania only. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. There you go.
Definitely call Gambler if you got a problem.
Yeah. definitely get on the horn with them, you know, if you have a problem. You know what I'm saying? So let's move on, man. We're just getting through this. You know, a lot of reports are coming out. You know, I thought that, first of all, you know, I'm not going to really get too much into the defensive part of it because I felt like the defense came out there and they grinded that first half, man. I thought that, you know, for the most part, they kind of held that run game down. But, I mean, at a certain point, I mean, you can keep bending. At some point, you're going to break, you know. And I thought that to really at the end of the day, they did their job. I mean, you know, because other than the 8 points that they gave up on the defense, so, you know, shoot, you know, the defense came to play. We didn't answer the call on the offensive side of the ball. So, you know, here we are again where we're faced with the decision of, do you think Doug needs to get an offensive coordinator?
He doesn't have one?
No. No, there's no offensive coordinator. You have Press Taylor, who's the quarterback's coach.
Passing game coordinator?
Yeah, passing game coordinator. Stoutland is like
run
game coordinator. Deuce is assistant coach or slash run game coordinator.
Assistant offensive coordinator, head coach.
Well, he's not an offensive coordinator. And then,
the three-headed monster approach.
No, yeah. Like that. Their roles aren't really defined. If I was a player, I'd be confused as shit.
Yeah, you know.
What philosophies are we doing? Like, who's the architect of these plays? Who's breaking it down to us? Like, is it a cohesive, strategic game plan? Like, you got this person is that person. That person, he's running the passing game. He's running the short passing game. He's the long passing game. It's like
maybe that's why the passing game and the run game seem like they're not really, like, you know,
meshing, right?
You know what I mean? Two different minds trying to operate and game plan that. I know that they're talking back and forth and communicating, but I mean, that only goes so far. If you have the same person working on both run game and pass game when it comes to all that stuff, then I think you're going to see a little bit more of a cohesion.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Possibly.
Yeah, that's pretty good thought right there. You know, now that you put that out there, you know, I think that does have something to do with it. When you say, all right, the run game and passing game, they're not married together. So you look at what Cleveland is doing, where now they have that run game. Okay, here comes a play action. We don't have anything that kind of breaks off of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything kind of, it doesn't look the same. Like, we got about to get ready and watch the Rams. Now, they run game and their play action, it all looks the same. Yeah. For ours, it doesn't have that same marriage system like you were saying earlier, where it doesn't kind of look like that. It kind of looks like it's divvied up a little bit.
Depending on the drive you're watching, it doesn't necessarily look like it's the same offense. You know what I mean? It's just, I don't mean to be too overcritical, but, you know, it just seems like they're having a hard time finding a flow, or if they do, then it just gets broke off on adjuncted or horrible word usage here that I'm trying to find, but it just seems to, like, have its flow disrupted in the next series or two series. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, like, what is, they don't really establish an identity and an idea as to what they want to do in the game. Like, you know, some teams, they'll come out, fuck it, let's just two tight ends, pound them up and down the field, let's just run the ball and play action, keep it safe, like what Cleveland did. Like, the Eagles, on the other hand, they come out, they run the ball, get all the way down, they're fumbled. Now it's like, all right, let's scratch that and just throw this bitch all around the yard in inclement weather and, like, just get away from that. Like, you got to, like, be committed to your game plan first and foremost, because that's why the offense isn't running smoothly, because they're just picking plays, like, out of a hat when he feels as though he needs to dial them up. Like, dude, stick to the script. Develop a script. How come the first 15 plays look flawless, but after that, it's like, all right, what do we do?
Yeah,
you know, you need to have an idea coming into each and every game and just stick to it.
No, because you start getting on the card, and then it's like, all right, hey, I want to run this, I want to run that, I'm on it, and it's all over the place, and you have everybody just putting all their ideas, and you have this giant gumbo of plays on there. But it's no real identity to it. It's just a big hodgepodge of just different stuff. And I think that that's where you start seeing problems in our offense. And we cannot run a screen to save our life, man. We haven't run. I think they said over the past several, I guess, year or so, we've only had 36 yards in the screen game.
Yeah.
Total.
I mean, I just feel like that all goes hand in hand with the flow of your offense. Like the screen game has to be implemented at the perfect time, and it has to be executed properly and trained properly. And, you know, and I think that just all can kind of go along with the flow of the offense. You know, it just, why would you expect the screen game to just work all of a sudden if nothing else is really like working together or consistent? You know,
yeah, I agree. See,
and I also think when they choose to call the screens, it's like out of desperation. Like, we know, all right, at home, you're sitting there, you're watching the game, you're like, damn, they try everything. Oh, they're gonna throw a screen in here somewhere, and it's not gonna work because they're like, fuck it, let's just do it now because nothing else is working. It has to be set up. You know what I'm saying? Like, have a formation where you got like a Wally cross string, you know, you got to hit them with dink and dunks first and then set up the big one. You know, it's like when there is a screen call, it's like obvious, like, you know, they're going to run it, you know? So they just need to be a little bit more deceptive in their play calling, which we haven't really been seeing.
Yeah, and I think the mechanics of it is bad, too. Just when you look at that play, I'll go back and look at the play that they tried to run the screen to the right, and Matt Pryor tried to overset the guy and let the defensive tackle beat him inside. The running back was right there in his face, so the defensive tackle just grabbed the running back. Play is blown up. JP was getting edged by the defensive end. So the play was dead before it even got started, just by the mechanics of how they run it. Yeah. So we suck at running screens. So in short, we suck at running
screens. You covered it all right there, Trey.
Yeah. So in short, we suck at running screens. All right. So
I mean, 38 yards is pretty pathetic. Like, we normally get 38 yards on one screen. Like, damn, the whole season. Yeah,
entire season. Good.
I mean, like you said, man, we was drilled that, you know, how to run a screen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Juan would even, like, wet the fucking bags up for us to dive on just so we could cut. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, these things need to be implemented, like, still throughout practice, even this late in the season, because that's the only way you're going to get better at it.
Yeah. Now, tell me this, you know, because, you still have 6 games left. Right now, you have 40 sacks, 99 quarterback hits right now. I mean, that's a lot right there. And I mean,
and you're in first place.
And you're still in first place. Okay, so yeah.
until
Thursday, right? Yeah.
You're still on.
I just wanted to point it out so we can enjoy all the time that we have.
Yeah, we're still in first place.
Thursday.
Yeah, we're still in first place. It's still there, which is beautiful. That's a great thing. That's an awesome thing. And all right, so tell me this. Do you think they can turn this around?
Yo, if they tie on Thursday, would it be a 3-way tie for first or no?
Yeah.
If they tie?
Who is it? Dallas and Washington, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if they tie, I don't think that's going to happen. But yeah, it would have to be. It would have to be that would be a 3-way tie. 3-3-1-6.
I hope they tie, bro. I hope they tie Thursday. But anyway, back to your question. Can they turn it around? Yeah, I don't see why not. It's not like it's too far out of their grasp at this point. They just need to do some soul searching and like really, I think, simplify things and just they need to commit to what they want to the rest of the season to look like. On offense, I think, you know, like you said, I think the defense did their job. I mean, it wasn't a high scoring affair. It's not like, you know, they were just getting the brakes beat off of them. You would think that we could put up some more points than what we did earlier than we did too. So I'm the eternal optimist. I do think that they can still turn it around. It looks ugly right now. It feels really, really icky. But I just feel, you know, they have as good a chance as anybody right now.
All right. Jay, what do you think?
They can. Do I think they will, the way this offense has been playing? Like, I don't have much faith in it, because you don't see the chemistry with the coach and the quarterback and the flow of the offense. Like, last week when they played Cleveland, that was the first time that first drive, you take away the fumble, which kind of derailed every fucking thing, that we actually saw some rhythm and flow in this offense, like the whole year. And then what they do at the end of it, shoot themselves in the foot and fumble the ball. So, you know, if I've, you know, if we've seen anything else, hell, like they haven't shown us, at least offensively, that they can turn it around. Hell, they what? They haven't scored. They scored 35 points once in three years.
Yeah.
We're gonna play Seattle on Monday. You're getting a shootout with Russell Wilson. With that, like hell, we barely scoring 20 points, and we need a defense to kind of help us out and put us in position so we can score the points we have been scoring. So, I mean,
bro, there's a better chance.
They can.
Yeah,
but I don't have much faith in it.
Bro, there's a better chance Russell Wilson is gonna have a shootout with his defense.
Well, I personally feel like they're not. You know, I think the precedent has been set with this organization. I think that, you know, for this thing to turn around, you're gonna have to have your vets step in and you know, really push this thing forward. And I just don't see it happening. You know, I think Doug has, you know, I love Doug as a coach, but I think that, you know, the standard has kind of been set and guys are kind of taking advantage of it and milking it, you know, you know, and that's just how I feel about it. Just being real about it. You know, I this team has been, you know, they still living off that, you know, what they did in 2017, which was awesome, bringing a Super Bowl to the city. But I think that since then, you've lost a lot of leadership within that locker room, and some of the guys that you're depending on to come out there and turn this thing around are failing you, you know? And I think that Doug gives them an excuse at times. You know, when you do a press release, and one of the things that you talk about in the first, one of the things you bring up is that the reason that your team is down is because of injury. Yeah, that might be so, but you can't give them that built-in excuse, because to me, that's when guys start leaning on that. And that's why, for me, I feel like it's too late for this thing to turn around. You just have to run it right this season out and just see, unless you have some vets step in and turn this thing around. But I think that you got too many of your big name guys that are kind of milking this thing a little bit, and it's not going to get to where you need it to be.
Man,
that's just how I feel.
You heard it here, dude. Trey Thomas put his name in the hat for Jason Kelce to call him out at the Super Bowl parade.
I hope so. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that they come out there and do their thing and turn it around.
Former clown.
Yeah. Fucking clown.
Former Trey clown Thomas. Trey Thomas, you know, call us out. Asshole. I hope so. I hope it is a spark. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, I think that, man, when you look at this team, they have talent there. But, you know.
They do, but honestly, dude, like, I don't. You know, like, I don't know this per se, but I'm just going by the reports. Like, you know, those guys, they're old enough, you know, they hear the tea leaves and all that. Like, if you hearing that, your coach tells the media, oh, yeah, these are my guys. They're going to be here tomorrow. And the next day, they're fired. They're gone. Yeah. Like, that tells me right away, damn, man, he don't have really no say. Like, somebody's going over his head. He can't even pick his own coaches. So it's kind of set up for Doug to kind of fail a little bit, because Jim Schwartz was hired before he was named the head coach. Yeah. Like, he didn't even get a chance to pick his own defensive coordinator. That's why this whole thing is just like the Super Bowl win was kind of a blessing in disguise, so to speak. It bought Doug. Yeah, hey, man, the coach to bring a Lombardi here, you know, they're going to be mentioned in Eagles lore forever. But how do you get out of this situation when, you know, you're fighting an uphill battle every step of the way? I don't even think Doug was on board with them drafting Carson. I don't believe that. Not the way he go out there and half-heartedly support him, like, when I guess the media is kind of like coercing you to do so.
Well, what do you think? You think Carson's out of here or Doug's out of here?
Carson's
not going anywhere.
Carson, he ain't going nowhere. He ain't going nowhere.
They're so invested in Carson. They can't.
Yeah.
And honestly, just Just seeing the dynamic, you know, everybody's trying to force Doug into being this kind of coach and being more hands-on with Carson when he wasn't hands-on with Nick. Like, he's the coach that he is. Like, they're trying to force him to be Andy Reid. He's not Andy Reid. He's from under his tree, but that's not him. That's not what he does. You know, he coaches how he sees the game. He wants to call plays. He even said he's never given that up. So if that's your philosophy as a head coach and you wasn't able to select your own defensive coordinator, the team's philosophy is kind of disjointed. Mm-hmm. You know, you got a bend but don't break defense, but then you got a gunslinging ass head coach that want to go for it every fourth down.
Yeah,
like that don't mesh. So I just think it's all like Doug is behind the eight ball, like the way mm-hmm. I see it.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see how this thing plays out. Let's get a couple more bills paid before we get out of here, man. Autumn is in the air, and Manscaped is here to ensure you don't carve your pumpkins while grooming. By pumpkins, we actually mean your boys downstairs. In fact, Manscaped is on a mission to change the way you approach care. Yeah, your boys downstairs, man. On a mission to approach
downstairs.
Yeah, man, that's right.
Oh, hello.
The great down under. Yeah, man, approach caring for your undercarriage. And great news, they just released their products in the UK, Canada, and Australia, just like we were just saying. The great down under. Yeah,
good day,
mate. Yeah, good day. That's not a knife. This is a knife. You know what I'm saying? So you can't forget. So you can't forget about the best trimmer for your BBB, butt, balls, and body. The Lawnmower 3.0 trimmers offers a replaceable ceramic blade with advanced skin-safe technology, which helps reduce grooming accidents. Their new Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer uses the same skin-safe technology when you're trimming those delicate nose hairs of yours. The Crop Care Kit includes the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant. Everyone knows pumpkin spice lattes and ball deodorant go hand in hand. The Crop Care Kit includes the Crop Cleanser Body Wash, a full body wash that you can also use on your hair. Crop Mop Ball Wipes. You never know when the opportunity strikes, so you should always be prepared. Plus, you don't want to stink when you're sitting around that Thanksgiving dinner. If you suffer from stank foot and stand on your feet all day, then I have a product for you, the Foot Duster for foot deodorant that's made with cooling tea tree oil that offers a pleasant experience for the stankest of feet and allows you to take your shoes off with confidence. The Manscaped Refined Cologne is a cost-effective way to smell clean and fresh for your day. The Crop Cleanser Hair and Body Wash is designed with aloe vera and sea salt to leave your skin clean, fresh, moisturized, and reinvigorated. These formulations are all vegan, cruelty-free, dye-free, sulfate-free, paraben-free, so you know your manhood is in good hands. Get 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com when you use the promo code TALE, T-A-L-E. Again, that's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com when you use the promo code TALE, T-A-L-E. Make your balls a priority this fall. They will thank you. How have you guys been enjoying your Manscaped products?
Man, it is amazing.
Yeah.
My balls are bare.
Yeah. Your balls are bare. That's awesome. That's good news. Good
very
news.
Great
good.
Stuff.
I mean, I feel very aerodynamic now.
Yeah, you're aerodynamic. you're cutting down drag.
Hey, man, just glide through the wind, man. We just glide.
There you go. That's awesome, man.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's a nice product, man. Nice product.
Yeah, that's good, man. Ty, tell us about Body Check.
Oh, Body Check Wellness. You know how we're doing over there. CBD is all the rave these days. And we got a whole line of products, not just CBD products anymore, but we also have mushroom products now, which are catching a lot of popularity due to their increase in energy and focus. And if you want to get down with our new mushroom products, go to bodycheckwellness.com. That's BODYCHEK wellness.com. Use promo code blindside for 20% off your purchase. We have, once again, full spectrum hemp CBD products, capsules, tinctures, oils, topicals, massage oils, roll-ons. We also have hemp-infused mushroom capsules. We have regular mushroom capsules, and we also have dog treats. If your dog is feeling the aches or stressed out or can't find a thunder jacket to fit it properly, we can help ease your dog's stress with our CBD dog treats as well. So go check us out, bodycheckwellness.com. And if you don't believe me, believe Trey.
Yes. It's an awesome product. I definitely have used lots of it.
Really?
Absolutely. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah. I got my body check on, man.
What's that promo coming, man? I got to check him out.
We got you, Jack.
Yeah. All right, cool.
I got you, dog. Oh, yeah. But for the show, Blindside, BLINDSIDE. Blindside, promo code Blindside at bodycheckwellness.com. BODYCHEK wellness.com for 20% off.
There it is, man. Jack, before we get out of here, man, tell us about the salon.
Oh, man, you know what it is. It's that time of year again. Well, it's always that time of year for the ladies out there. If you want to get your hair done, look nice for that special fellow, you know, check out Seven Zen Hair Artistry on YouTube. Also, go to www.7zenhair.com where you can place your order on a select number of items such as tape extensions, shampoos, all type of hair care products. You can also book an appointment and see, you know, my lovely wife. She's a great hairstylist, and I advise you guys to check them out. I'm going to check her out, 523 Delcy Drive in Toole, New Jersey. Once again, that's 7zenhair.com. Use promo code Blindside for 20% off your order, and your hair and your man will thank you.
Yeah, there you go. Tell me this though. What can she do for me, man? You know what I'm saying? Like, I keep seeing. I keep seeing cats on. They be showing these little the stuff online where cats be getting bald.
The implants.
Yeah, be coming out there with fades and dreads and everything, you know what I'm saying?
We like to keep it authentic over here, man, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know, man. Like, talk to the missus, man, and see if she can do
for
me.
Stick her up the chin, though, you know?
Yeah, I want to see if she can throw something on me, dog, for the next show.
Okay, I think that might be surgical, man.
I mean, she does make wigs, but I don't think she do like the implants, though.
No, I don't want the implants. I just want that thing just put on there, man.
Just lay right. All right, cool.
Yeah, give me a little shooter walk, man.
Your nice curl. Yeah. Your nice curl hanging.
Man, had I been laying a little bit, man, you know what I'm saying? Hey, see what she can talk to him, man. See what she can do for me. We might do it for the next show. Yeah, shit, I want to have it jailed into the side a little bit, man.
We can handle that.
Yeah. See what she can do for me. I have to come over there and check her out before the show. We do our next show and see what she can put on me, man.
Yeah, Trey, I don't know, man. I don't know if she's going to be able to help you out.
Yeah, I'll see. See what you can do, man. See if I can get me a Gumby or something, man. I don't know.
Oh,
the Gumby.
What's that, 92? 92?
Yeah, give me a strong Gumby, dog. You
know, Oh, man.
Bro, man. I do see those videos on Instagram with the straight edge, and they're just, like, spraying it. You get that done, Trey?
Yeah, man, dog, catch me getting that shit laid up, dog. You know what I'm saying? where they come in there, man, put a little glue on there. Man, they come in there and whip that shit up, man. Motherfucker, man, waves and everything, dog. That's what I'm talking about. Man, throw me some waves up here. That's what I'm saying.
Goddamn treachery, boy.
Yeah, man.
Oh,
throw me a wave or two up there. Let me see what come up.
Bro, I would die if I see Trey on it with a hairline.
With hair, right? What happened?
Talk to her. See what she can put in there, dog. See what she can come up with.
All right, I'm gonna let them know.
Yeah, I'm for real. I'll come in to the show, get it done, man.
Yeah, I got you.
All right. Hey, man, appreciate y'all coming again, man, doing it, man. Hopefully, you know, we come out here and get another win, man. You know, we got Seattle coming up.
Man, the Russ coming to town, man. They coming here, right?
Yeah, they come here.
They come here.
Last time they came here for a Monday night. We got our ass whooped.
Oh, yeah. And then they came.
42-0, right? 42-0?
Oh, the Monday night game? Yeah, we was in that game.
Yeah, Lofa T had like 3 picks for a touchdown or some shit like that. Mike Mahoney.
We were all like, we were infants.
Trey, it was my rookie year. You were
rookie year.
Yeah. Left tackle. I was playing left tackle. It was like my third start or something like that.
It was what? Me, you,
I think Artis was out there.
It was Adrian.
Was it AC? Yeah, you're right.
AC. Yeah, Adrian Clark.
Oh wow, Adrian
Clark. Dude, you're talking about back. Ryan Moats was our running back. And dude, I remember.
Bro, that was the longest fucking game ever. The snow was falling so slow. The time was moving so slow.
No.
The only thing that was moving was their score. Like scoreboard.
They scored 3 times on defense. It was bad. It was bad, man. Yeah, we'll get into it next week, though.
Yeah. Hopefully, we'll be able to pull this thing off, man. We'll see. Hope.
Positive vibe. Positive
vibe. They're
going
to turn it around. They got to start sooner or later.
Yeah, they got to start sooner or later. Why not go ahead and knock it out of Russell Wilson? Yeah.
Well, maybe we can shut that whole DK Metcalf talk.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, who's going to lock him down?
Yeah.
That got away, huh?
Yeah. That's the question. Who are you going to put on DJ Metcalf?
Ooh.
Man, I like the Green Goblin. Fuck it. All right. I'll see y'all next week, man.
All right, cool, man.
Oh, man.
Is this show for this segment. All right, we're done. All right, cool.
Hey, family Bill's gonna come with that fire, though. They gotta bounce back. Somebody gotta do something. No, but we do got your man's, though. Big Play Slay.
Yeah, I like Big Play Slay. Yeah, we put Big.
But I don't think do they make him track the number one receiver?
Yeah, he travels.
You know what, bro? I did like what's his face out there? Who was the linebacker? He's the backup or whatever that was out there with the long hair.
Yeah.
Singleton. He had great energy, but here's the thing, bro. It is backup energy though. Like
nobody cheered for him or cheered with him. Nobody. I was so mad.
He's
at
a backup,
that.
Bro. He's a
I was mad. No, every play he made, he was like, yeah, yeah.
I want a high five.
They weren't there. Like they weren't feeling in his emotions. I was like, damn, I feel bad for him. I wish I was on the sideline, like pound him up or something.
I want a high five.
Yeah. He made a couple like good plays, like on the running back, and
led the team in tackles.
All the teamers on the sidelines were hyped for him.
They were hyped. They're riding for their homie.
Yeah, dog, he led the team in tackles, 12 tackles, 8 solo, man.
Play good.
Had a sack, tackle for a loss, and a quarterback hit. Shit, single team ball. I like his energy, dog. I do like his
energy.
Great energy, guy.
Yeah, like I said, it's backup energy, bro. Backup energy. It's like that energy you unleash when you finally get let on the field and you're a backup and you know that your time there is limited. That energy will fizzle
going
out
all
and
out.
Become a starter.
Yeah. Then it fizzles.
You can't bring it every week like that, bro.
Oh, man.
Gotta say the rest of that shit for specialty.
Yeah, man. I hope he keeps it up, man, because, I mean, right now he's the bright spot on his defense. So.
Yeah.
Hey, man. There you go.
Did we say it like every other week by a different linebacker? Like, he's a bright spot? No, he just had a good game this week. Okay.
It was Edwards like 3 weeks ago.
Right. let's string some in a row now. Like, we gotta give out three balls and shit.
Come on, man. I mean, nah, we gotta give it to him when they get. I mean, you know, so we gotta take what we can, man. I mean,
Kudos, Mr. Singleton.
Dog.
Don't we supposed to give out like Manscaped people of the game or Menscaped?
Yeah, my
game,
bad,
bro?
Dog. You know what? Yeah. All right.
We already did it. It's unanimous.
All right. So okay, we gave it to him. Unanimous. Singleton. Yeah. I got to go.
The man with the longest hair on the field.
Wait, well, because you got Joe Osment.
He does got some long hair too. But you mean the dude that got stiff armed?
But you know what? He got a stiff arm. He took it. He took that stiff arm, and at some point, he was like, "Damn it!" And then he got up.
Duh.
What are you wrong for that, boy?
Oh, bro. He was yes, I have great pursuit angles. I'm going to play from the backside.
Yeah, I'm about to go and kill him. Damn it! And then the next thing.
Oh, man. No,
next time we'll explain the damn it. He got the stiff arm, but then he got back up and finished the pursuit and made the play. He didn't quit. He took it to the chin, got up and kept pushing.
Oh, also, before we go, your guy, the Green Goblin, he did make a stop on the goal line. He got dirty. Remember, you said like you need your DBs or your safeties to get dirty. He got under there. He made a hell of a play. He stopped the touchdown too. And I'm like, damn, you going up against Kareem Hunt? I mean, that's a thick boy now. Like he brought his big boy pants and won.
He
brought his hard hat.
It's crazy too, because from the angle that he had down there on the field, he was looking at it and he was like, no, he's not in. I was
How do you know?
See that? Or he's just got to be extra confident.
Yeah.
He was there. And I had rewinded him. I was like, oh, that's 21. Okay.
Yeah, I knew, bro.
Jay Mills, he ended up having five tackles, five.
He got dirty.
Yeah, he got dirty. He got dirty. He needed that.
Goblin.
The goblin, you know. But then he had some mistakes.
The one.
Let's just focus on the five.
He made that stop at the goal line. Great touchdown.
Goblin.
No way. Touchdown.
Not today. Did he flex? Did he give you the flex?
I don't think he did. He was giving it to the ref. Like, he ain't get it now.
He ain't in there.
Yeah. All right. There you go. Goblin. So there it is. We're going to end on the goblin. That's it, man. About to go up here and watch what TB12 going to do with the Rams. I got them taking the over. I took the over on this game.
Hopefully he don't get sacked 19 times by 99.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think they just had a lot of offensive linemen go down not too long
ago. Oh, boy, it's about to be ugly.
Yeah, it might be
ugly. Dude, hey, man, that dude looks like he's unblockable one-on-one.
Hey, let me tell you something.
We're linemen. I'm like, dude, he looks unblockable.
Let me tell you something, Jack. Yeah, when I was in Indy for that little cup of coffee I had at the end of my career, right? Mm. I think I started a preseason game
against
Aaron Donald, where we were out there for like 5-6 snaps, something like that, right? I was still learning like Andrew's cadence. And so like I wasn't getting off the rock on time and I didn't know like I was still picking up on the terminology of the plays. Bro, he had me 4 yards deep in the backfield before I even was out of my stance and he had to made a play, tackle for loss. I was like, this dude is something else.
Dude, he's unreal. Like
something else, bro.
Like how he can move his body and make himself like stronger in small spaces, though. Man, we had to hold his ass. Fuck that. you got to beat him up. Like, you got to beat him up.
Juan would have came up with some shit for that.
Dude. Yeah. But still, Juan, hey, D, tough deal.
Tough shit, man. We fought, we move on.
We fought, we move on. Like, hey. Jack, they got us. No shit.
So one of the things that Juan, you know, because when you end up in a room, and this shit is funny, man. So you're in a room with a bunch of linemen, and somebody cut a fart, you know what I'm saying? So somebody fart, hey,
Yeah, you're not allowed to laugh, bro. You're not allowed to laugh.
Yeah, so somebody will break out laughing. It'll be one of the young cats that start laughing.
Yeah,
you know, somebody will cut a nice fart. maybe me. I don't know. Somebody. I'm not sure. You know, we're not going to name names. I mean, you know.
With a rubber asshole.
Dude, his fart sounds like, you know, when you take the record off the record player, it was just louder. Like, God damn, no. Like, how is that coming out your ass, dog? Like, that loud.
Somebody rip a fart and then start giggling. Hey, turn on the lights. Turn on the lights. Hey, look here. Hey, we fart and we go on. Because if you have a baby and you get some baby shit on your hands, that shit ain't going to be funny. Like, what? What the hell are you talking about, man, with baby shit? How did we get the baby shit? How did we get the baby shit on the hands?
We shit and we move on.
Hey, we fart and we move on. That's it. No need for laughing. No giggling. Thanks again, man, for you guys coming and hanging out with me, man. Hopefully we'll get another win. Fingers crossed, getting ready for Seattle. Damn, my fingers are still swollen, but you know what? But fingers crossed. We can get this. And for all y'all players out there that get all sensitive about us talking about y'all, get over yourselves. It'll be all right. All right. Welcome to another segment of Tales from the Blind Side. Yo.
Toodaloo, motherfucker.
Hey, you hear?